Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahoman's podcast for Oklahoma State football, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving, stop in today, or visit Zaxby's.com. I am Scott Wright of the Oklahoman, joined by Jenny Carlson, our columnist. Jenny, we're going to do a defensive breakdown today. We're going to go back to front, start in the secondary, and work our way to the defensive line. I think pressing questions from least to most in that order. But let's jump right in with the secondary. Essentially everybody back. Kenneth Edison Magruder was the only senior off of last year's group. But even the guys that are back had started and played and were heavily involved in this defense a year ago. When you look at that group, how confident do you feel Jim Knowles is in those guys?
I think pretty confident. I am writing for later this week about how he is willing to take his chances, essentially, with an experienced secondary over an experienced defensive line, which he had the experienced defensive line a year ago, got great production out of that group. They were one of the best teams in the country when it came to their sack numbers, to getting pressure on the quarterback, and yet they still gave up too many chunk plays that were game deciders. So Jim Knowles saying basically, hey, I would rather have it this way than the other, that you do have that kind of experience in the secondary, and just how much those guys changed and improved over the season last year, I think was pretty dramatic in a lot of eyes. So yeah, I think he feels really good about him. You know, obviously, if you're going to play in the Big 12, you're going to have moments that aren't good. I mean, too many opportunities for you to look bad, to be perfect. So they're going to have times when they're not great. But I do think the experience that they got, in addition to the talent, I mean, I think they really think they've got some talented guys, especially at those safety spots. You know, guys like Colby Peel, Harville Peel, Jarek Bernard, guys that, you know, I think with their abilities and their size and all of that, I think that those are guys that potentially could project to play, you know, pro football. So I think they really like what they've got back there.
You throw in a couple of cornerbacks who are in their third year as starters, which is incredibly rare, no matter the situation. There are NFL teams that would like to have their cornerbacks stick around for three straight years.
Yeah.
But the most important fact of it, these guys are talented, but they've seen it all now, or at least most of it. They've been through the fire. They've lived life on the island, and they understand what it takes to be a cornerback in this league. And I think that is going to pay huge dividends down the road. Like you said, these guys are going to get beat. It's more about how you respond when you get beat. And we've seen positive reactions from both of these guys, Rodarius Williams and AJ Green, that makes you think that that they're going to be able to handle themselves maturely in those situations this year. It's got to be one of the toughest positions to play in college football is a cornerback in the Big 12. Because especially in this defense, you end up in a lot of single coverage on some really talented receivers. Yeah. And really good quarterbacks, and that's the true life on the island for a cornerback. So it's a difficult place to be, and these guys having the experience that they've got, it's really going to kind of help them heal some of those wounds a little bit quicker, I think, because they know that they can come back the next drive and make the play, make the interception, whatever it might be. So that's I think going to be a big key for this group. Moving back to the safeties, we talked to, I think on our post game podcast after the Liberty Bowl, we talked about how big a game that was for them. I think we really saw them grow up toward the end of the year, and in particular that Liberty Bowl game, Jenny.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you bring that up, because I was actually going to bring that up. I was just thinking about that, and so we're on the same wavelength here. But you know, they did have several guys that played huge moments in that bowl game. And you know, we talked a lot about in various ways leading up to that game, you know, what can you take away from that? You know, is that really a benefit? You know, Mike Gundy even went so far as to say, I don't know if guys even remember that into spring conditioning and that sort of thing. But in talking to some of these defensive assistants a couple weeks ago, Tim Duffy stands out in my mind. You know, he saw, and obviously those guys saw, just where they had gotten to. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you saw not only, you know, Colby Peel make a huge play at the end of the game, but, you know, this gets back to cornerback, but a guy like Kima Sivirand is out there playing. Yep. and doing some good things at that position. You know, I don't really think that they want to have A.J. Green and Rodarius Williams off the field that much, mm-hmm. but the way it is in the Big 12, you're probably going to need to let them catch a breather every once in a while. So guys like that getting a chance to get out there, play against an NFL caliber quarterback who knows what he's doing, who's got guys that are capable. I think that Bryce Ballas is another guy. Yeah. You know, had some moments that you can build on, and you're going to have to replace those guys eventually. I know, right. I don't want to talk about replacing them before the season starts, but to get those guys out there to maybe get them additional snaps, what those guys did in the bowl allows those coaches to think, all right, we fed them a little bit there. Let's feed them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Let's feed them a little bit more. And the you know, the less wear and tear you can have on the guys that you do want to depend on, the better. So if you can play a Bryce Ballas more snaps in the non-conference, that helps A.J. Green down the line. If you can play Kima Sivirand a few extra snaps against Tulsa, that might help Rodarius Williams down the line. Those are the sorts of things that, yes, I think they feel good, but they've got to continue to evolve, because you don't want to be caught in that same position as they were a year ago, again in another year or two, when you lose some of these guys and they age out. So I think that that bowl game was really a nice touchstone for a lot of those secondary guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the guys that are going to be backing up those safeties. Trey Sterling was a guy who Jim Knowles and some others were very high on coming out of the spring. Jason Taylor II from Carl Albert was a guy that at the end of the year they came around and took advantage of that redshirt rule, got him in on some special teams. And then Tanner McAllister, they burned his redshirt year as a backup, but he played some really significant snaps, was on the field a lot in that bowl game in particular, after he made the move from cornerback over to safety. So they've got guys that they really feel comfortable with in backing up those safeties as well. They're so deep across the board in the secondary right now that it really feels like Jim Knowles is going to take full advantage of that. Now, from all the positive things we said, Jenny, is there a concern in this group? Do you see anything that should worry Jim Knowles or the secondary coaches?
Well, I mean, I think you always just, you know, you've got to be taking stock of where your guys are. You know, you with the way the Big 12 is, you know, you always want to be adjusting and figuring out, how can we do things a little different? How can we keep offenses guessing a little bit about where we are, where we're coming from? But I think, too, with that secondary, the thing that you might worry most about, while what I said earlier, I still think this is the preferable position as to a year ago. They would much rather have this experienced secondary than an experienced defensive line. You still, if you're in the secondary, you've got to hope that defensive line gives you something. That defensive front cannot allow these quarterbacks in the Big 12. They're maybe not as ballyhooed as they were a year ago or 2 years ago, but they're capable, and they'll pick you apart if you let them stand back there. So that defensive line has got to get some amount of pressure on the passing game to not leave those guys out there an extra second or 2 seconds trying to cover. So to me, that interplay of trying to use that secondary strength and, you know, make adjustments that might, you know, have offenses wondering, what are they going to bring this time? How is this going to look? How is it going to be different? Use that to your advantage. But then also, you've got to hope that your defensive line doesn't leave you out there forever.
One thing I'll be curious to see, there was a phrase that Mike Gundy used a lot last year in talking particularly about the young safeties, saying that they got their eyes violated. It always made me feel a little uncomfortable when he said it, because I wasn't exactly sure what he was talking about. But
sounds nasty.
It really does. It really does. It sounds horrible. But what he meant was they were watching guys in motion and losing track of their assignments based on where guys were going or run pass option stuff, different things like that. And their eyes were going to the wrong spot, and they were losing track of their assignment. So that's the thing that you want to see those guys make progress in an area like that. And I mean, I don't want anybody getting their eyes violated, so I'm hopeful that they don't have that issue any longer.
Sounds messy.
Yeah. So that's the thing that I'm curious to see if they've made the progress in that area that that Mike Gunney, Jim Knowles, and everybody are working toward. Last thing before we take a break, Jenny, is there a guy in there that you think could step up from being a really good player last year to being a star, or is there a guy that we haven't been talking about as much that could become a breakout player? What do you see in that group that could change in terms of elevating a player?
You know, I think it'll be interesting to see how and I don't know how to say his first name, but Dizadare, help me.
Nadrian
mm-hmm. Dizadare, I think they're calling him Dizzy, mm-hmm. how he plays into this whole thing.
Yep.
He's a true freshman out of Shreveport Evangel, which is where Jarek Bernard's
right.
from. Evangel, very well-known program, has produced a ton of high-level college players. Now, he's maybe more a linebacker.
He's kind of an undersized linebacker.
He's a little bit of a hybrid.
Yeah, he's
maybe
gonna
okay.
There.
So I don't know how he plays, if he ends up more in the linebacker group, or if you see him a little bit more in coverage. But you know, Jarek Bernard, speaking of Evangel, maybe a guy that we sort of see step forward. I think a lot of what Colby Peel brings to the table, but Bernard, it sounds like he is one of those guys that arrived at a more advanced understanding of major college football athletically. I think they've always liked what he brought athletically to the field. And now that he's got that year under his belt, being out there a lot, he may be a guy that sort of starts to step forward and you know, really solidifies his star in the secondary. I'm really curious to see where he is in year two.
A guy that we haven't yet discussed, I'm going to throw out right here. I'm curious to see how much defense he actually plays. But Thomas Harper is going to be on the field somewhere. He came in as an early enrollee and was getting a lot of buzz, particularly from Mike Gundy, in the spring. That's continued on through the fall now, through preseason camp, and he's been working in with the second team at cornerback. We'll see if he gets in the mix there. If it's just special teams, both coverage and return game that he's involved in, but I think he's a guy that's going to find his way onto the field at some level. And you know, that might not be too important for this year, but it might be very important for a year from now, whenever you know, they're needing to replace AJ Green. So curious to see how he fits in the mix. With that, let's take a quick break. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I am Scott Wright of The Oklahoman, joined by columnist Jenny Carlson. Linebacker next on the list. Only two of those guys out there in this 4-2-5 defensive Jim Knowles, but some question marks more so than in the secondary. You've got experienced players like Calvin Bundage, Eamon Ogbonbamiga. Devin Harper is injured right now. We don't know when he might be returned. And Kevin Henry, a guy that was coming on strong last year, that I'm curious to see what he can do. And then he gets to some of those young guys and walk-ons, honestly, after that to build some depth. When you look at it, Jenny, it sounds like Jim Knowles is almost more concerned about linebacker than his defensive line.
Yeah, you know, it is an interesting point. And you know, I think that they've got bodies at that position, but mm-hmm. who's really going to step in and take those spots, especially with the injuries, as you've pointed out, and Bundage apparently too.
Yeah, he's a little dinged up as well.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if any of those are long lasting. If the, you know, we're talking about half the season or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you don't want to go too awful long without some experienced guys in there. And obviously Bundage, with his ability to sort of flex at different positions, you know, to be more of a stand up end type pass rusher from time to time, to use that speed that he has to affect things. I think that Jim Knowles likes that. I think he wants to use that. Does Kevin Henry Is he able to be a starter, that caliber of guy? You know, I think that that's a little up in the air. You know, they really haven't had many questions at who are the linebackers.
Right.
You know, these last few years, I'd say last 5 years, I can't think of really, you know, you might have had some guys that were vying for those positions, mm-hmm. but you felt like, all right, you know, they've got capable, able, ready to go guys.
Right.
And even though they're only using the two in this defensive alignment, you know, who are the two? And mm-hmm. and I think the fact that you do have that inexperienced defensive line, you would really like to have some guys that you feel stable and comfortable with at linebacker to clean up some messes every once in a while, because they're going to happen. I mean, even with a good defensive line, you occasionally have those times. And so I think that it's got to be a little bit of a concern in a way that, you know, it's probably not, I don't think it's being talked about nearly as much. I mean, obviously, who starts at quarterback is a sexy question of, mm-hmm. of the preseason. Defensive line, because it's a wholesale remake. Everybody's looking at that. But I think quietly, what's that linebacker group looking like is more of a concern than maybe everybody's given it attention to.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, you look back just the last few years at the middle linebacker position, and obviously the defense has changed with Jim Knowles, but you had Chad Whitener, who was just a really stable rock in the middle, and then Justin Phillips moved over there last year, and he was a guy that had experience at an outside spot and moved to the inside and was the same kind of guy, extremely reliable. Now you're looking at somebody new there, most likely. Ogbonbamiga seems like the most likely candidate there, and you know, he's a guy that's played sparingly and played a lot of special teams, but hasn't been out there for you know, long series and drive after drive against a Big 12 team. So, you know, trying to figure out what type of player he's going to be is a big question. And, you know, I think if the season had to start today, Kevin Henry probably starts at that outside spot, because I don't know if Bundage is quite ready with that lower back injury, but I think he'll be fine probably in time. You know, we're still over a week away from game day. So I think Bundage will be back and involved. Devin Harper is the one that I think that coaches are most concerned about, because that's been a long-term issue with his foot. Didn't practice in the spring, and still in a walking boot at the last time we were at a practice where we were able to go in and watch. So I think there's going to be a couple of games missed there. And after that, you're looking at you mentioned Nadrian Desidere. Like I said, he's an undersized linebacker, but maybe he fits in somewhere. You know, when you know, Knowles in passing situations likes to go to kind of a 3-3 alignment and bring in an extra, either a linebacker or a bigger safety, and that might be somewhere that Desidere fits in. Cameron Farrar, similar in that realm. You know, Philip Redwine Bryant, a walk-on who has just hung around and played. He came in as a receiver, and they moved him to safety, and now he just kind of grew into a linebacker. And you know, he's a reliable guy, but hasn't played a ton. But you know, there are some guys that could be relied on more heavily than you would expect in this situation.
Well, if you look at last year, Justin Phillips is your leading tackler mm-hmm. on this defense a year ago, and then top 10, you've got Devin Harper, and mm-hmm. and if you look at the rest of, you know, the linebackers, only Calvin Bundage is sort of a top 10 tackles type of guy on that list. So if Harper's out for a more extended period, then, you know, the only real for sure guy is Bundage. And, you know, he might not be available that first week or two, it sounds like, potentially.
Yeah.
So they're really going to be asking some guys that have not had to do a lot to do more.
Yeah.
And they may very well be capable. I mean, that's entirely possible that we're, you know, and halfway through the season looking at this going, why were we even worried about this? I mean,
that's
a possibility, because, you know, they do have some guys that have done some things, but they're going to have to step up and do more. So yeah. I think that's going to be really worth watching as the season gets going.
Yeah, it could end up being the Kirk Tucker situation where they had all those guys get injured that year when he was a senior, and all of a sudden this guy that's only been a special teams guy pretty much his entire career was having to start games and play and did really well.
Yeah.
So I think we've kind of covered the biggest question of the group. So is there a guy that you think could step to the forefront here?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see what Ombog Bumia does. A guy that, you know, maybe he's the Kirk Tucker role. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy that has been used sparingly, you know, has seen the field, but not really in a consistent manner. If he does end up in one of those spots, and, you know, maybe that consistent playing time is the thing that, you know, he needs, that he elevates into, and, you know, sort of finds a groove and finds, you know, where he belongs and how he can most impact games. He's a guy that played in every game last year, doesn't have a ton of stats to his name, but has been a guy that I think athletically and potential-wise they've liked from the get-go.
Yeah.
So maybe a chance to get a more consistent spot out there start to see that evolving, that he becomes a guy that steps forward. I would say too, to a degree, even though Calvin Bundage is a guy that you see had a huge impact stats wise on this team a year ago, I would like to see him be more consistently dynamic. Mm-hmm. He does things in games that are eye-popping moments, but then there are times when he just either gets taken out of a play, overruns a play. I'd like to see him be that consistency evolve to the point that, you know, maybe he doesn't have as many of those whoa moments, although I think he will, but you would almost rather have something a little less than whoa if it's more consistent.
Yeah.
And so I think that could be really valuable to the Cowboys as well.
Yeah. I think that he stabilizes a little bit this year. I really think that that's been a big focus for him. You know, he dealt with some injuries last year, and it caused him to kind of get a little crazy because he's a guy who wants to make a play so bad. And he got a little bit out of control at times, which has been a little bit of his character as well, even when he was younger. But I think that he stabilizes this year as a senior, and I think he's going to be a difference maker down the stretch for this team. Let's take one more quick break and come back, talk some defensive line. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zach. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I am Scott Wright of The Oklahoma, joined by columnist Jenny Carlson. Time to move to the defensive line, the question that everybody's been asking about on the defensive side of the ball since basically after the Liberty Bowl ended. You know, six guys who were the primary players last year, at least early in the year. You know, if you throw Darian Daniels in the mix, all gone. You know, four guys that got some backup time last year, some transfers. Whole lots of it feels like chaos up there, Jenny.
yeah, it's definitely going to be a different year. I mean, for longtime Cowboy fans, they remember the days when defensive line was always a concern.
Oh yeah,
before every season, who's going to play on the defensive line? Are they going to be any good? Are they going to have any depth? I mean, how is this going to be held together?
Mm-hmm.
Over the last decade, that has really changed. You got to give credit to Joe Bob Clements, and mm-hmm. now obviously bringing in Greg Richmond. Greg Richmond was one of the early sort of guys in this change for the OSU defensive line. You know, part of solidifying it to the point where it wasn't that annual worry for the Cowboys. But this year, they knew they were going to lose a crop of guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see it with their eligibility coming to an end. Then, obviously, you lose Darian Daniels unexpectedly to a transfer. You're without him. So there was an acknowledgement that they were going to have this turnover. So they were recruiting those guys. But it's still taken time, and it's still going to be difficult. I mean, they're still going to have struggles at that position. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that the biggest help they got was that week that they got Israel Antoine immediately eligible and then got the transfer of Kyle Jr.
Yeah.
Two guys that are going to be the anchors to that defensive line. Mm-hmm. You're going to see them hold that defensive tackle, those two spots down. I mean, I can't imagine that anybody else starts there when the season begins. Defensive ends, to me, seems a little more up in the air. How are mm-hmm. they going to do that? But I think you've got an Antoine who played a lot at Colorado last year, was excellent for the Buffs out in the Pac-12 as a true freshman at mm-hmm. defensive tackle. That is not normal.
Right.
He's going to be really good there. And then Kyle Jr., a more experienced guy at a lower level, but still has the pedigree, the background. His dad played in the NFL to be an effective defensive tackle. I think, personally, I feel pretty good about the defensive tackle positions. Mm-hmm. Now, depth-wise, you're going to have some guys come in and spell those two. They yep. can't play every snap of every game for the Cowboys. But to me, the defensive ends are where it's a little more of a head-scratcher to me, Scott.
Yeah, it is, especially, Brock Morton and Mike Scott both got some experience behind Jordan Belford last year, but they're both on the same side. And so you got your two experienced guys on playing the same position,
right?
And inexperienced guys on the other side. And that other side's going to look a lot different because you had some guys like some big-bodied guys like Jarrell Owens and Cole Walterscheid over there, mm-hmm. But not like not 280-pound guys like they're going to be running out this year with Tyler Lacy, who I think is probably the leader in the clubhouse to be the starter, and then Amadou Fofana, another as a junior college transfer guy who is 280, and there was thoughts that he might eventually work his way into a defensive tackle, but they're comfortable with him at end. He really showed some dynamic skills at the junior college level, whereas Tyler Lacy was a really impressive kid in high school, but he's added 40 pounds since mm-hmm. then. So it's be interesting to see what his development level is, how well he kept his speed and his agility and all of those things. So end is an interesting position. The one thing about this whole group, particularly with a guy like Antoine, who played some defensive end at Colorado and can do some different things, or a guy like Brock Morton, who almost has a middle linebacker type of look. You can move him around and do some things like you did with Brailford a year ago. Then you've got Mike Scott, who's just looks like a pure pass rush defensive yeah. end, so long and fast,
right?
Takes big steps. I think Jim Knowles has the potential to be very versatile in what he does with this group, Jenny.
Yeah, I mean, he could. We've seen these stand up, stand everybody up and bring them that way. We've seen guys move around. So I think, you bring up Calvin Bundage, they may bring up some linebackers. They may try to sort of flood those offensive linemen, those blockers, with some extra bodies. They may have to do some things in the looks that they give and in the, different alignments that they throw out there, just to try to keep offenses guessing a little bit of where they're coming from. But I do think one of the things that they do have going for them, at least as I see it, this looks more like a speed bunch to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say they didn't have speed these last few years on right. the defensive line, but, you bring up a Mike Scott, who's a longer, lankier guy. Mm-hmm. When you see him, you almost think tight end.
Right,
you
exactly.
know, a guy that could really move and run and be effective that way. So you don't necessarily think of him as clogging, holes or occupying a lot, but man, the speed with which he could move, and I think Antoine potentially the same way, Brock Morton same way. So you may see that where, they need to try to find ways to use that to their advantage, whereas maybe before they were looking to occupy, looking to open, spots where their linebackers could mm-hmm. could make plays. Maybe
right.
now it's a different look from the fact that their biggest asset may be their speed.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you use that? How do you make that work? And maybe over time they figure out some different things, and as this group evolves, you do it differently. But from the outside looking in, it appears to me like they've got some speed on that defensive line, that might be the thing that they can play most towards as they then figure out who they are as a unit going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked about the defensive tackles, the two transfers. I think you're going to see some progress out of the guys that did get some experience last year, Brennan Evers and Cameron Murray.
Yeah.
And then coaches I've heard have been really high on Samuela Tuihalamaka, who redshirted last year. That was a late grab in the recruiting process 2 years ago, a guy who came in and redshirted a season ago and has really developed. They really like what they've seen out of him. And some of the young guys, I don't know that there'll be the opportunity for anybody like a Trace Ford to necessarily get involved, but he's at that spot where they're playing Brock Martin and Mike Scott. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that physically looks ready for the challenge, but you don't like to force a true freshman into action necessarily on the defensive
right.
line if you don't have to.
Right.
Jaden Jernigan on the inside, they've liked him, and if depth becomes a real concern, I think he could be in the mix. But he's another guy you'd like to not have to burn that red shirt on a guy in that spot.
You know, I talked to Joe Bob Clements back when we had our availability with the assistants before the season started, and I asked him, I said, what's reasonable in terms of how many guys you could potentially use? Because as you're rattling off, like a Cole Walterscheid,
mm-hmm.
like that guy would so help them this year. A guy that who's way down the pecking order. Well, not way down, but, he's you don't hardly even maybe think about him first.
Right.
But a guy like that would be so helpful now. You, mm-hmm. you start to sort of wrap your head around that, they were playing 8-10 guys on a just rotating basis, and you sort of lost track of who's out there. Is that mm-hmm. Trey Carter? Is that, who do they have? Who's on the field right now? And I asked Joe Bob, I said, what's realistic? Now, they hadn't had a practice, but he said his goal is still 8-10. He would mm-hmm. still like to use 8-10 guys because of the amount of snaps, the fact that you don't want to sort of in the same way we were talking about with your secondary. You want to give those guys a chance to be better later in the season by having that rotation, especially early on. And so it's going to be interesting. That may be the thing I'm most curious to see. Yeah, I want to see who the starting lineup is. But to me, the bigger thing is, can they figure out a way to still – do they have 8 guys that they can use
mm-hmm.
realistically? Do they have 10? I think that's a big question mark. And when you're talking about the biggest guys on the defensive side of the ball in this league, you got to have some bodies. And so how deep can they realistically go by the time Big 12 play gets here? I think that's a real big question out there for them right now.
Yeah, and I think Oregon State presents a unique test for them because they're going to be more inclined to run the ball. They've got a good running back, so that's going to be a different test for them right off the bat to find out what they can do against a solid running game. All right, Jenny, we'll wrap it up with the player that you think will take a step forward, whether it's into stardom or just into a much bigger role this year.
Well, I can't help but pick Israel Antoine. I mean, he's a local kid. I think both of us have gotten to know him a little bit over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting guy, interesting backstory, played at Millwood, part of, that defense a couple years ago that gave up, one touchdown during the playoffs?
Right.
I mean, just an unbelievable defensive performance by that defense. And he was the star. That defensive line was the anchor point, and he was the anchor within that group. Again, I go back to the fact that as a true freshman, let's step back for a second and, think about true freshman playing defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, his skill set's a little bit different. He's, able to, as you mentioned, go to the end and be more of a rush guy. But, you think about great defensive linemen we've had come out of this state. I mean, think about Gerald McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
He did not play as a true freshman.
No.
So, you put it in context. I'm not going to say that Israel Antoine's going to be a multi-time All-Pro and, all
right.
of that stuff.
Right.
But that puts into context what he did a year ago,
mm-hmm.
physically, mentally, able to be in that position as a true freshman. So I'm very, very curious to see. I think he's going to be really good for the Cowboys. He was really good for Colorado a year ago. I don't see any reason why he can't be good at OSU this year.
Yep, absolutely. That was going to be my answer. So I'll step to the side and say, yeah, and take Tyler Lacy. I think that that he's going to really show some speed and some agility in a big body and be able to do some things at that strong side defensive end that are a little bit different than what they've had the last few years. So I think that there are reasons to be optimistic about this defensive line. Question is, how long does it take to gel? How, develop that depth? All of those things, and are they able to hold things together and be ready for Texas in late September? So that's kind of the big concern. So with that, Jenny, I think we'll wrap it up. This has been the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com.